At 9, Teresa Mitchell hosts Press Watch, News You're Not Supposed to Know. At 10, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, hear Flashpoints, investigative news radio with host Dennis Bernstein. And at 11, host Sarika Mehta speaks with Cece Bell about El Defo, her memoir graphic novel. In her book, Bell chronicles her hearing loss at a young age and her subsequent experiences with the phonic ear, a very powerful and very awkward hearing aid. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you are not a current member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate Today.
It's time for KBOO News from the Boo with
Mike
and
Monica Beamer.
It's Wednesday. It's 5:45, and that means it is time for News from the Boo, our weekly roundup of items of interest here at KBOO and in the greater KBOO community. We are joined once again by Mike Crenshaw, station co-manager, and Mike has brought with him tonight Joyce Harris, who is here to discuss a really interesting event coming up next Monday evening, brought to you by the African American Alliance of Portland and the YWCA of Greater Portland. Joyce, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing just fine. Thank you for having me.
Mike?
I'm doing good, Brian. Hey, Aaron. Good to be here. Good to have Joyce here. I'm excited about this event, Empowering Our Youth, an evening with Sabrina Fulton, mother of Trayvon Martin, who, for those of you who don't know, was murdered in 2012 in Florida by George Zimmerman. And he basically got away with murder. And there's a lot of organizations that have come together to sponsor this event happening Monday, April 13th, 2015, from 6:45 to 8:30 at the Maranatha Church, 4222 Northeast 12th Avenue, Portland, Oregon. So, Ms. Harris, would you share with us, you know, some thoughts about the event and what's happening right now?
Sure. Well, first of all, this event is the result of the YWCA of Greater Portland bringing Ms. Fulton here for their annual fundraising luncheon. And I really need to give them acknowledgement for having the wisdom and the vision to make her available for a community event.
Good.
And I encourage all organizations, when you bring people, nationally recognized people here who may have a message for a particular audience, try to make that person available, especially if you're having a fundraising event and people can't afford to go to the fundraiser. So that's how I kind of fell into this. I was calling because I wanted to buy an extra ticket to bring somebody who couldn't afford to go to the luncheon. And then was told that they wanted to do this event, but they didn't have anybody to do it. And so I just said, okay, I'll coordinate it for you. And that's how we operate.
Yeah.
You know, to me, that's part of that community spirit and engagement. And so it's kind of escalated from that. So we're looking at, the theme is empowering our youth. So of course, you need to have youth at this event and as part of this event. And We also wanted to kind of lay the groundwork for some additional work after this event, because we go to things, we get all inspired and hyped up, and then that's the end of it. So my vision is that we can build on this theme, and perhaps maybe all of the people who are coming, who do work with our youth, will come together collectively and sponsor an Empowering Our Youth Summit. And I'm thinking that would be nice to do this summer. It'd be nice if we could do it right before the summer kicks off, so that kids will know what options are available for them during the summer.
There's a lot of activity around youth and empowering youth through the nonprofit industrial complex, sure, you know, locally and nationally. And one of the challenges we find is that often people aren't necessarily working in concert I don't know how intentional it is, but what happens often is there'll be one event, mm-hmm. like the Youth Summit at the Boys and Girls Club, but then on the same day, there'll be like three or four other events.
Sure.
So what are some of the visions that you and other organizers for this event have specifically going forward?
So when I started, you know, thinking about, you know, just what should this look like, what I think is most effective, my first thought was, let me get in touch with organizations in the city who do work around youth empowerment. And so that's what you see. If you see the flyer, there are organizations who have just said, we support this event and we work with young people and they're going to be there. We're going to have young people there. And what I'm hoping is that all of these organizations, people who are working with young people, we have the Urban League, we have the self-enhancement, we have the BEAM, Black Educational Achievement Movement. We have a lot of organizations who are doing things. My vision is like, let's all sit around a table and look at doing an event where we not only empower the youth, we celebrate the youth, and we need to have the youth understand that as a community, we care about them. And caring about our young people, for me, I'm old school, and I'm mm-hmm. going to say that.
Okay.
I'm old school in the sense that I truly believe that there was a time when we came together and we did things with our young people. You know, I see other communities taking their kids to the park, doing read-ins, doing all kinds of things. We've got to get back to that. And the other message is, you don't have to be an organization to empower a young person.
Okay.
You know, you can be an individual.
Mm-hmm.
You can take young people to cultural events. One of the things that I do is when there are cultural things going on, I'll buy an extra ticket or two or call up some young people and say, hey, you want to hang out with me?
Yeah.
And yeah, I took this one young lady to see Maya Angelou the last time she was in town. And it was a phenomenal experience for her. And now we don't have Maya, but she has that memory. And this young lady will actually be one of the young people who will read one of her original poem that this young lady wrote at the event.
Great.
And so that's, you know, I'm looking at this as I said in another interview, I see it as a coming together of the village.
Okay.
And the villagers coming together to acknowledge that we've got some work to do and none of us can do it alone. And that's what I'm looking forward to. And then, of course, Sabrina Fulton. I mean, I have been so inspired by this mother who's lost her child. I'm the oldest of 9 children, and I had 6 brothers. I only have 3 now. Mm. And one of them was shot down and killed. And I remember what my mom went through. And for Sabrina Fulton to have gone through having her child murdered and then having to go through all of the public things that she's had to address and to come out of it with her and her Trayvon's dad started the Trayvon Martin Foundation. And they just had a youth mentorship summit on March 14th. And so she's used her personal pain and tragedy to kind of move forward and advocate and inspire other people. You know, I've been just amazed at her strength and as she supported Michael Brown's mother after he was killed. And one of the things she said in an interview I saw, she hugged her and she said, "We got your back." And so that's the spirit in which I'm thinking about this. Sabrina, we got your back. We had your back from the time this happened to you. But more importantly, we've got to have our children's back. And that's what this empowering our youth for me is all about.
Wow.
So we're going to have, there's going to be one young woman reading some poetry. How else
There will be one of our local poets, Renee Mitchell, and Black Butterfly.
Okay.
And Taria
Autry.
Autry.
Good.
They're going to do a choral reading of an original piece by Renee called Pulse Check. I have something real special planned for the introduction of Sabrina Fulton. I'm engaging a young person, some young persons, to do that. I've gotten a call from one of the middle schools. I guess the students did a project when Trayvon was killed, and they've done a video, and they called to ask if they could present that to her that evening. And I'm thinking, of course. So I'm excited. I think we're going to have a fantastic turnout, and then we'll see where we go from here.
Yeah, but, it must be really difficult for her. I mean, I can try to imagine it, that every time she comes to an event like this, essentially she's ripping open old wounds again. Yes. So for her to put herself out like that,
yes,
for the benefit of the community in general, it's really impressive.
Mm-hmm. It's courageous. It's courageous.
And I feel like it's necessary, you know, like the example that is set by people who've lost so much, mm-hmm, continuing on is something that we all need to be inspired by, because we don't have excuses. You know, we have to be accountable. And if the people who've lost are accountable, then we all got to get in the fight, you know?
Especially as this continues to happen.
Yeah.
And for those of you who are listening, I encourage you to go to YouTube and Google Joy in the Morning. Sabrina partnered with one of the gospel rap artists, T-Dog.
Okay.
And there's a song, and she does the opening introduction, and she does the end. And it's so powerful. I mean, I when I found it, I was just amazed that she's been phenomenal.
I'm going to have to ask this question, and we only have a little bit of time left. So it's somewhat of a rhetorical question, but it's a question that I have to hold in my mind when dealing with these issues. And that is, will we see the end of the murder of innocent people by the state under capitalism?
You know what I want to say, and I'm going to say it. I think it's going to be, I mean, look at how many years we've had capitalism and all of the ills that people have experienced as a result of a society that, where capitalism, you know, and I'm not going to say capitalism is bad. I think that what it makes people do,
okay,
to maintain that system is what's challenging to us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you raise that question. What's on my heart and mind today is the killing of Walter Scott in South Carolina.
Right.
I come home from a conference yesterday, and my husband meets me at the door, and he tells me, Joyce. And I'm looking at that. And, you know, the only image that came to my mind as I saw that brother running in that police, I thought about the trailer to Be a Slave.
Okay.
And you know, you have the brother who's running in the white, he's run, and the slave catcher or the overseer is running after him. And see, for me, when I look at these killings, I can't help but think about lynching. I can't help but think about the total lack of humanity that's in someone's head that makes you just shoot somebody and they're running away from you. And see, we've known that these things have happened. We know that there have been many cases where evidence has been planted on victims. But us knowing it and being able to prove it has been a challenge.
Yeah.
I mean, we had a killing here in Portland years and years ago. And there were some young people who were hidden in that house. And they saw the officer plant a gun next to this young man's body. And so we know it happens, but proving it is another thing. So, I mean, we're all in pain. You know, we're all in pain. I mean, you can't watch a video of somebody being killed in cold blood and not feel it. When Eric Garner was chokehold to death, I knew Tony Stevenson, who was chokehold to death here in Portland. And it just brought all those feelings back. You know, killing somebody over a cigarette, killing somebody over a busted tail light.
And in that case, I mean, there was pretty clear video evidence that contradicted what the official statements were regarding the incident. And still, it wasn't enough to really get the truth out there. So
raises the questions about cameras, right?
It does raise a question about cameras. Is it enough?
Situations where, in one situation, the officer had forgotten his camera back at the station.
I'm certainly glad that we have the cameras out there in more people's hands. It raises the possibility, or raises the probability, that the truth will come out, but it's not a guarantee.
All right. Well, it looks like we're just about running out of time. So why don't we give people the information one more time? Mike, you want to remind people when, where?
Monday, April 13th. That's this coming Monday, 6:45 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. at the Maranatha Church, 4222 Northeast 12th Avenue, Portland. Come early. This event is going to fill up quickly.
Yes.
And thank you so much for coming down.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Joyce.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
You're tuned to KBOO Portland. Up next is Right to Survive Radio. First, these important messages.
KBOO and the Clinton Street Theater are proud to present a music documentary that raises the bar for the genre. Arrows into Infinity, the new documentary about the life of jazz musician Charles Lloyd, Thursday, April 9 at the Clinton Street Theater. Arrows into Infinity takes us on Lloyd's journey from the heights of jazz rock royalty to his life in seclusion and back again. Arrows into Infinity, the Portland premiere, Thursday, April 9, 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton, Portland. More information can be found at KBOO.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.